Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that brings together well-known friends to talk through three thought-provoking questions, usually over three glasses of wine, but not this week because both of my guests are teetotal. So I put the kettle on and the corkscrew away. And first up, she is the woman who ruled my Saturday morning TV with Motormouth before she launched The Big Breakfast on Channel 4 with Chris Evans. Groundbreaking stuff. These days, she's hosting all manner of shows from Shop Smart Save Money for Channel 5 to a long-running and celebrated BBC Radio London show, as well as Radio 4's Gabby's Talking Pictures. It is Gabby Roslin.
Oh, thank you. Did you used to watch Motormouth?
I did.
Oh.
Sitting alongside Gabby. Oh, she's one of my good friends. She is my very own queen of fitness, a fellow Big Breakfast host, and the woman who ruled BBC One's silliest Saturday night show. Yes, big balls. It was total wipeout. And it is, of course, Amanda Byron.
Oh, hello, my lovely.
Hello, hello. I'm having my first kombucha.
I can't believe it's your first kombucha.
So, girls, talk me through how and when you met.
Oh my gosh.
We've always known each other, but then we had an evening after an event where we went for supper. And I swear to you, I had another friend there and she had another friend. And I swear, my friend Joe and I came away and just went, I think we have just met the nicest person on the planet.
It was my friend that I was with.
And then you would just happen to be there. You're just lovely. Just lovely. And we all had the same agent as well.
Yeah. It was Lorraine's High Street Fashion Awards.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But the weird thing is, you know, when you're in telly or you're in entertainment, you kind of see people and you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
And you kind of, there's always that nod. You know, we actually all just met Vernon Kay in the reception. And I looked at him and I looked twice. I was like, hey, and thought, oh my God, have I actually met him before? Because there's that moment. I have. But, you know, I don't know him that well, but you feel like you know someone. But when I met you, I remember feeling, and we had met kind of, you know, through the ages, like, but not properly.
Not properly met.
And I always felt like it was almost like this soul connection. I always felt like, oh, I just want to be her best friend. And I just always wanted to kind of...
More than a girl crush.
Yeah. Well, there was definitely a girl crush because I grew up on watching Gabby on TV. I ended up on a show that she started on The Big Breakfast. So for me, you know, you were my idol, but more than
honestly,
but more than that, just the most gorgeous soul. And that night that we met We got pretty tipsy, didn't we? And I just remember going
home. Oh, damn, I wish I'd known you both in your drinking days.
So drinking days. And I just, from then on, I was like, okay, I love her, and that's it, the end.
Despite the fact that our business has a pretty bad name, in as much as it's supposed to be this kind of, how did Eamon Holmes beautifully describe it?
Oh, I loved that podcast you did with him.
He was brilliant. He said...
he described a lot of things.
People would eat their own children for a break, is how he described it.
Horrid.
But that... and it can be exactly that. He's right. It can be a toxic pig trough of hell. There's a new one. But equally, I have met some of the most beautiful people in my life. I think everybody expects it to be a bit like some sort of Reese Witherspoon film from back in the day where we're all out to kind of mutilate each other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case at all.
There are definitely
I've
moments.
Had that, though.
Yeah,
I've
I have had
I've
those
had bullying.
Moments.
I've got a male and a female, not at the same time. But there was a TV show that I did. There was a male who was an awful bully. Never Chris Evans, I have to say. Never Neil Buchanan. Never Terry Wogan.
So now we have to do the math. We have to work backwards.
But you're Googling, Amanda. I'm Googling.
But who was...
I am Agatha Christie.
But it's horrible. It's horrible. And there was a girl when I first started out in the industry 33 years ago who was not supportive at all. She didn't like the idea that I was coming in and doing what she did.
You're treading on her toes.
Yeah. Actually, she tried to stop me doing what I wanted to do. But I think because I'm a bit happy-clappy that I just sort of didn't let it get to me. It did get to me, but I didn't let it take over what I was
but
trying to
do. Don't you think that sometimes indifference is the greatest weapon of all?
I mean, I've been made to cry on a TV show, not on air, but back in my dressing room, and it was a co-host, it was a male. Yes, but it was just, it was this person's own ego, it was this person's self-criticism. I over years, I realized what he was doing. It was all about him. And, you know, I was just kind of a young TV presenter and I thought it was all about me and I thought it was my fault. And that's, and like you say, spreading joy and happiness, energy is positive. And if we radiate it, then it just keeps on circling all around us.
Exactly.
And I call people in life zappers and sappers. And sappers are those who we all know, people who, when you have a conversation with them, you walk away exhausted because they've sapped your energy.
Mood hoover, that's what
mood
I call them.
Hoovers. Oh, I like
or
that.
Or brain drain.
And the zappers are the radiators, the ones that give you that zap. They give you that energy. I know I'm going to walk out of this room today high on not kombucha.
A genuine straight-faced conversation where I was asked, would I consider bleaching my freckles because they irritated him on camera? My freaking freckles!
Look at my freckles. I know this is a
very irritating on camera.
Bullying is always about the bully, and it's about their insecurity. So whenever, because I go and I go back to the college that I trained at, or I go into schools and I do talks with kids and I do talks with teenagers, and the big thing that I always say, you know, if there is any bullying, or that you have to remember, it's about the bully.
But that's also seeped into our, you know, consciousness and our daily lives now, women of our age, on social media.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had to over the past 4 or 5 years watch after I've done a show, 100 people say you were brilliant and one say you were horrific and I hate you and your voice
and that's
stinks,
the only one
you
hear.
Stink and you're horrible. And I don't see any of the 100 that are nice. And a woman of my age, having been through the years in TV that I've been through, you would think that I would just go, fuck them, who cares? But you can't.
Of course
it hurts. You know,
we've been through
decades of this stuff and yet still, so can you imagine what that's like for someone starting out?
But how important is it that you've got in your phone a whole load of phone numbers for people like me or Gabby where you can call up and you can go, I just had this, and you can talk it through, and within 5 minutes something you would otherwise have carried around all day is washed out of your system with a little bit of a girl workout.
I mean
I dip in and out of Twitter, but
I don't think anybody does Twitter anymore.
It's not a kind place. Like, I wouldn't choose to go there if it was on my high street.
Emma Kennedy, I love following because, goodness me, she teaches me so much.
She's good at it.
She's fascinating. And I've known Emma for years. But Instagram is a much nicer place, I think. But I do notice, it's very funny, that I'll write positive things to people I know. I mean, I mainly follow people that I know. But I'd look sometimes at the negativity underneath some of those posts and it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
Stacey Solomon has been a friend of mine for a long time. She calls me her TV mummy. And she's my TV daughter. And I hated of anybody. I sometimes see the nasty.
She handles them so well, though.
So
she brilliant. She calls them out in the most eloquent way that only, without reducing them, absolutely reduces them to what they are, which is a thug and a bully and a keyboard warrior. Cowards.
Yeah. Exactly. And look at Meghan Markle, who's Meghan and Harry, who I respect immensely. I think the work that they want to do in the world, I do think they're going to change the world. But the negative press that they get,
yeah, you know, they're in there putting read, in at Instagram, for example, algorithms that will detect what feels like a hostile response, and they will be examined and removed.
Really?
If they offer, that's what they're working on at the moment.
Are they getting rid of likes as well?
Yes.
Aren't they?
So there's the options.
They're not in Ireland.
Great
so
idea.
Yeah, in some places they are, but also you can switch your likes off.
For young kids, I do worry about 14, 15, 16 year olds who say, oh, I got 21 likes.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's that.
And it just, it means nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah.
And unfortunately, social media is addictive. I mean, it is literally addictive to that part of our brain. It sparks the same part of our brain that class A drugs does. So when you refresh, it's positive reinforcement. When you see an extra like, it sparks the exact same part of your brain that cocaine does.
Does it really?
It does. Goodness me. It does. And so that's that addictive feeling. And you, it's, you know, you're, oh yeah, more, more, more. So it is actually physically addictive. And that's why we keep going back to refresh and scroll.
But you know, the big eye opener now is that they've put on all our iPhones. I only work on an iPhone. Sorry, if you're on an Android, I don't know if you have this facility, but it shows you your screen time.
Oh, I do that, which is.
And
so
I was really pleased.
Yes, I don't like that.
But I use my phone for work. But my average a day was last week. With 2 hours, 30 minutes.
That's
and
good.
I'm really pleased with that.
That's very good.
I Can think
I
that's
say
really
that
good.
Also, which the only annoying thing about that is it also includes WhatsApp. And WhatsApp for me is my absolute go-to. And it's included in social media, which drives me nuts because for me, social media is that kind of scrolling through Twitter and Instagram.
Instagram or Twitter,
but
yeah.
they pile in WhatsApp and I'm on WhatsApp all day, every day.
Oh, so. I love WhatsApp.
Oh. But yeah,
some of my favourite conversations.
I know.
I was thinking for Christmas this year because there's certain WhatsApp groups that I've got, and I was thinking I might just turn them into like photo books.
Oh yeah.
And put some pictures alongside the chats, and that is a perfect Christmas present.
That's brilliant.
Isn't that a nice
no
idea?
Waste. That's perfect.
Yeah.
My favourite WhatsApp chat ever was when there was a load of us organising going to Italy for Heidi Range's wedding.
Oh,
and it went on forever. And
girl.
More and more people joined in. And it is still to this day. In fact, I did promise that I would print it off as wallpaper. And I said to her, I'm going to do it as wallpaper for your Heidi. It's like an anniversary present. She said, you better not if you've seen what's on it.
That's so fantastic.
That's such a good idea.
So ladies, we've just chatted on, which I knew
know.
We would. And I haven't even asked you a proper question. So can I?
Yes.
Would you mind?
Go.
Absolutely. More kombucha. Okay, my first question. Gabs, this was inspired by your love of walking. And every time I jump off a tube stop early...
Good girl!
Yes.
I think of you. I channel
Good
my
girl.
Inner Roslyn.
Keep walking.
If you could spend a day walking in the metaphorical shoes of another... Whose would they be? Where would you go? And why that person?
Okay, I can never choose one, okay?
Okay.
I just have to warn you about everything. If anybody ever says, what's your favourite film? Or what's your
favourite... Oh, I can't pick one
no.
either.
No, me neither.
So I can't just choose one.
Go.
Probably...
You can build a person if you like.
No, probably my granny. And I'd walk in Zimbabwe. Because Zimbabwe is my spiritual home. My father was born there. My grandmother was the first female MP there, and she fought for a multiracial society, and she fought to get Ian Smith out, and she believed in everybody being equal. She was an inspiring, wonderful, joyful, incredible woman, and we called her Granny Moo. Her name was Muriel, so she was Granny Moo to all of us, and she was just this good soul who loved everybody, never said anything nasty about anybody, and just believed to celebrate life. I'm lucky that I did go to school once. I went to the same school that she went to, and it was just
in
about
England.
Goodness.
So
yeah,
she moved out to Zimbabwe.
She moved to Zimbabwe and she married my grandfather, who was a doctor. But Granny, in all the things that she did and all the places she worked as an MP, but also she started up the multiracial children's home and old people's home. And she was a good person and she loved Africa.
See, just to give some significance to that, these places that they were places of refuge, safe havens, places that people could be cared for and nourished.
Yes,
both kind of physically
but
and
Granny
emotionally.
Granny believed in that, and everywhere, and there was. And,
but that didn't exist before she was there, right?
Well, no. I mean, a lot of the white people came into Africa and treated the black people appallingly. Mm-hmm. I mean, disgustingly, mm-hmm. and she felt very strongly about this.
Good for her.
This was their country.
Can't have been easy because there would have been a lot of people, I'm sure,
easy.
That would have pushed back against what she was doing, certainly from within the white community.
Yeah, there were. There were the old Rhodesians. And she fought and fought and fought. She believed very strongly, and she always said she didn't see the colour of somebody's skin. She was a very, very good woman. And for me, Africa is, there is nowhere. Once a week, I will wake up from a dream of being in Zimbabwe. Right. And I will
really?
Be in my bedroom there. I will hear the bird song. I will see the sky. There's nowhere quite like that sky. There's no sunset that you've ever seen that is as beautiful over Victoria Falls. Mm. There it is. The people, the Shona people from the Mashona tribe, are the kindest, most welcoming, beautiful people. And what's happened to their country is heartbreaking. Mm. What's happened to them, and they're not looked after. They really are the most welcoming. You know, a lot of people didn't understand. They'd say, oh, they don't even stand up when I come into the room. No, they don't, because their whole thing is about having their head lower than yours to show respect. So, you know, it's about knowing people's way. In the morning, you wake up and you say Mangwenani, mararare, darara kanamarao, which is good morning, how are you, did you sleep well, I slept well if you slept well.
Oh,
so that's what it's all about. And that's what it's a wonderful place. But also my passion, as I hope you know, because I'm very vocal about it, wild animals and how they should be. And I'm fiercely against trophy hunting of any kind.
I can't think of anybody that's in favour of it.
I've met them.
Yeah, but it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I've met
makes
them.
No sense.
Disgusting.
I don't know how somebody can justify it.
Don't it makes me, even when I was a very, very small child, I remember walking through a big store in London, and we got in and I was pulling my hands along. I was with my mum and dad. I was very young. And I went, oh, what's that? And they said, it's fur. And I then got into the lift, and my dad always tells this story, and my mum did when she was alive as well. There was a man and a woman, and she was wearing a fur coat. And I said, there's a dead animal, there's a dead animal. And I burst into tears. And the man said, oh, that's not what they, oh, that was it. I said, it's a dead animal, is it a dead animal? Is it a cat, is it a cat? And the man said, that's not what they told me when I bought this for my wife. And I screamed and screamed, and I had to be taken out of the lift. And I said to my parents, I never want to see that again in my life. An animal's coat should be on the animal. Mm. So it's something I've always felt very strongly about. And I'm just very proud to say I've been made a patron of Born Free Foundation.
Oh, they do such good work.
And so for me, that means the world. But seeing the animals in their natural environment as they should be, running wild, there is nothing quite as amazing.
Well, you are then on God's earth, aren't you? So, Amanda, you've got a pair of shoes to slip into for the day. Whose are they? Where are you going?
Oh, my gosh. Again, so many people. There are so many people that, as Gabby was talking, I'm thinking, oh, yeah. And then, you know, we're talking about animals and the planet. And I'm thinking David Attenborough, because he's seen it all. And he's seen the world as it should be. And he's seen the demise. But I'm going to go a bit deeper than that, if I can.
I would
step into my younger shoes. And I would walk myself all the way to now and point at me and go, look, it's all good. Because I spent, and I'm sure you know this, I spent 3 decades of suffering with body image issues, of suffering with trying to be something I wasn't, or trying to be something better, or feeling like I wasn't good enough. And from the outside, always looking fine. And, you know, I was in the modelling industry.
Looking fabulous.
But you never really know
like crap.
Exactly, inside. And always striving for something, striving, striving, striving. And I realised over the last few years that actually what I was striving for was perfection. And, you know, I started to really look deeper and started to try and understand perfection. And it's quite fascinating, actually, and it kind of plays back into what we were talking about with social media. So perfection comes in 3 different types of the multidimensional perfectionism scale that was created 3 decades ago.
Okay.
And there are 3 types of perfection, and you may, you know, resonate with one, none, or all. I resonate with all of them. There's
taking all those boxes. Yeah.
There's self-oriented, which is I put all of this pressure on myself to be perfect. I want to do the best in my job. I want to do the best in my exams. I want to be perfect. I want to have the best relationship. I want to have the perfect wedding day because I want that for me, right? This is obviously bad on so many levels because perfection doesn't exist.
It's an impossible task.
It doesn't exist. So that's why it's impossible. So you can keep on trying and keep on trying, but it just doesn't exist. And if maybe you have the perfect wedding in your eyes, you maybe don't have the perfect marriage, right? So there's all of these things. Other oriented is when you expect everyone else to be perfect. So look, I'm doing my job well. Why don't you do your job well? I'm in an Uber. You've got one job, dude. Just get me there. What's wrong with you? And we get angry because I'm sitting here and I'm paying you money and you're not doing your job
well. And
your
rating has just gone right down, by the way.
But, you know, it's the empathy that you have to have for that other person. Maybe there's a reason why he's not doing the job well. Maybe he's just found out someone has died. Maybe he's, having a really bad day. Yeah. Or, you know, and I had this in TV shows that I did. Like, I love my crew and I love, you know, the teams that I work with. But sometimes you get, let's say, a writer or someone else who just wasn't quite pulling their weight. And I'd get really frustrated and I'd go home and I'd go, oh, now I'm going to have to do his job as well. But, you know, that's just me having the expectation on someone else. So that's other oriented. And then there's socially prescribed perfectionism, which is the really dangerous one. That's the one that, you know, you basically expect. You think everybody else expects perfection of you. So when you don't come up to the scratch of perfectionism, you feel massive amounts of anxiety. Social media is one of those. You expect everybody for you to have the perfect life, right? Or your parents, you think your parents want you to be the very best that you can be. And when you aren't that, then we suffer crippling anxiety, often depression, and very often suicidal thoughts, and sometimes the end product is suicide. And these are the three types of perfection that I've suffered with, genuinely, all through my life. So they're the shoes I would walk in, my own goddamn 16-year-old shoes.
We sold them.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to put some new soles on them.
Absolutely, and I have done. I have done. And it's taken me
so much work on yourself.
So much work on myself. And I'm the happiest I've ever been in every aspect of my life. I don't care about perfectionism because I know it doesn't exist. You know,
perfectionism is dangerous.
I have empathy for everyone. I mean, genuinely, there's triggers that I have that I just stop and I'm the light between me and the trigger. And I go, it's okay. Maybe you're having a bad day. That's fine. I have them too. And, you know, I found I've become a nicer person for it. And everyone around me has become more loving towards me because of it. And I think that's really important. So, yeah, I think if I was going to walk in anyone's shoes, apart from David Attenborough's, they'd be my own.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Go back and be a little bit.
Yeah.
Kinder to yourself.
Yeah. And I would also, you know, I suppose a part of the question was, where would you go? I'd go to all the events that I didn't go to because I was afraid I'd gain weight. You know, I'd go to all the parties. I'd go to all the things that I just shunned for so long because I thought, oh God, I can't do that because, you know, maybe I'm not good enough for that. Or maybe I'm not thin enough for this. Or maybe I'm not strong enough for that. Or maybe I'm just not, you know, supposed to be in that circle because people won't like me.
There's something about space. It takes you away from looking in the mirror. Not even I like city walking. So it's the fresh air. It's the other people going past you. It's the noise. It's the shops.
It's perspective, actually, isn't it? It just puts you
and
kind
you
of
look in a mirror. Yeah. You're not looking in a mirror. And I don't mean
I don't mean literally
looking in a mirror. I mean, it's that self, you know, looking at yourself.
Well, it's called pattern interrupt. And it's the same with breathing. So when you have those feelings, you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to breathe 7 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, 7 seconds out. And it may sound silly.
No,
and
just it does.
It literally is a scientific pattern interrupt. So you've stopped thinking about that thing. And that's exactly what walking is. It changes your perspective. It changes the things you're looking at.
It's changed my life.
You know, we love it, don't you, Kat?
You know, it's because it's changed my life. It really, really has. You know, if I wasn't doing this or that or the other, and in fact, because I like to be busy, and I'd go mad if I wasn't busy. I've only got two things in for today. What?
Do you know what's interesting about those pattern interrupts that you're talking about? I got out of the bath yesterday, and I realised I redesigned the bathroom about 2 years ago, and I deliberately, when I'd moved into the house, it had big, big mirrored wall opposite where you got out of the bath. And it used to really upset me. I was like, I don't want to see myself struggling out of the bath.
No.
So I changed it. And I don't have that negative feeling. When I get out of the bath, I feel really
interesting. You've been looking up all the bits you don't want to be looking up.
Well, nobody wants to look at that, do you?
No, I'm not concerned about it, you seeing. I mean, when I get out of the bath,
about everything's
all...
interrupts. Yeah. So actually taking away the things that are those flashcards for negativity.
The triggers, yeah.
And now I skip out of that bath and think, well, that was lovely. I've soaked these old bones. I'm as good as gold. Off we go. Now, where's the chocolate?
Yeah. Well, I always say, you know, if you know that old adage, if there's, you know, if the, what is it? If a tree falls in the wood and there's no one there to hear it, does
doesn't
it actually make
a
sound, right? Yeah. It's Schrodinger's cat theory.
Yeah.
And it's like, if mirrors didn't exist, we would not know what we looked like, ever. But, you know, it's that notion of, does it really matter? Of course it doesn't matter. If you're healthy and you're happy, that is all that matters.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
I want to talk about serendipity. Serendipity. Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Dipity. Look, I can't. Think I want to talk about something that I can't pronounce, which is serendipity.
Serendipity.
Ladies, can we talk about serendipity?
No.
Got ya. Ladies, can we talk about serendipity?
Yeah, she said
because
it.
When Amanda walked in today, she was chatting to me, first and foremost, about a trip she's taking this weekend to Zimbabwe. And Caitlin, who silently produces this programme, she never speaks. Even if there was a fire, she'd hold up a sign saying, run. Right? She wouldn't say
it. But she's nodding.
It.
She's doing lots of nodding.
So Caitlin's from Zimbabwe. And then I went, oh my God, yeah. Gabby. Gabby's from Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And there was this lovely moment where it was like, oh, you're with two great sages.
It was a gorgeous moment.
That can advise you on your travels and give you the opportunity to make the most of a beautiful opportunity. So what I wanted to know is there another time in your life when serendipity has played a big role?
I wouldn't be able to give you exact situations. I have to say with a chap I was seeing, that happened. With jobs... I'll tell you that a strange thing that happened when I was auditioning for Motormouth Saturday morning telly, and Philip Schofield's wife was also auditioning for BBC.
Steph,
yeah.
Really?
And she got the BBC job and I got the ITV job. And it just so happened, it was one of those things that worked. And the same happened for The Big Breakfast. And I was also being seen for Weekend Mornings with Eamon Holmes, and I chose The Big Breakfast. And
wow.
Eamon, we always have a laugh. Wow. I adore Eamon and Ruth, I really do. We always have a laugh about that. But there were certain things that happened that made me realise it wasn't, you know, here are the two things now. Which do you want to choose? It was sort of serendipity. Everything fell as it was supposed to be.
The universe had you
so
back.
I think in work that serendipity happens and friendships happen like that.
Yeah.
But I think we get what we put out, and you, if you're open to it. In the same thing, I'm very spiritual and I believe in all of that. Very deeply I believe in it, and psychic energy. But
And I think if you put out things like that, that then things fit together. They go as they're probably meant to be. Although sometimes at the time you might not realise it.
No, it's hindsight that makes you go, oh,
isn't
yes.
It a glorious thing, hindsight?
Oh, yeah. I'm nodding furiously. Yeah. I'm like, she's speaking from my mind. So, yeah, I wholly, wholly believe in the universe and the fact that we are all made of stardust, quite literally, physically. So we are a part of the universe.
I love the idea of being made of stardust.
Oh, we are.
Can I just be glitter but non-plastic?
Literally,
can you just roll me in it?
That's it. Yeah, you are made of stardust. I mean, with the Big Bang, and we all were created from the remnants of the Big Bang, and then, you know, we created an evolution, as long as you believe in evolution. But God could have created that too, if that's the road you want to go down.
Yeah.
But we're all made of this energetic stuff. And I couldn't agree with you more. And I do believe very much in serendipity. But like you say, would it have happened anyway? Because that was the path that the universe had for you. And it's sort of like sliding doors, isn't it? And the same sort of thing happened to me with the Big Breakfast. I love that we've got the Big Breakfast in common, one of my happiest times of my life.
Oh, you were so good on it.
You set the bar, lady.
We have to remember, it was unlike anything else. It was brave and bold and different.
Yeah.
And you had.
Yeah, but I got to work with the best in the business, with Chris Evans.
You did, but nobody knew who he was. They knew you.
Yeah.
And you allowed that. You shone a light on him, which is incredibly generous. You were the marquee name.
Yeah.
But no, when but the show I launched. Do.
And the pair of you felt it. You literally,
it was a
team
show. It really was. Yeah.
And you were brave and giddy and doing something so different. And when was the last time you woke up and thought, I've got to put the telly on because I can't dare miss it?
Oh, never. Not since.
No,
I don't think. Honestly. I backed to as I started. I think a lot of that is missing on television now.
Totally.
And I'm so
really
passionate about television. I love television so much. But I just think there's the appointment of you, thank you, David Attenborough, Seven Worlds, One Planet at the moment, which is brilliant, but the appointments to view, I loved Wipeout, oh my goodness me.
Oh.
We all did it at home, you know, those giant balls.
Oh God, yeah, with the puzzle sticks.
Yeah, it was just...
It was like a slightly better paid prop from Gladiators.
It's true, it's very much like you. All of the jobs I've ever had were full of serendipity moments. So what the Big Breakfast was when my now ex-boyfriend of a very long time ago, Patrick Keelty, he was standing in for Johnny Vaughan, and I was hosting an Irish morning show. And what I didn't know, and they kept it from me, was that Richard Bacon was off on doing the OBs in Ireland, the 10 things you don't know about our guest presenter Patrick Keelty. And one of them was his girlfriend is also a morning presenter on an Irish morning show. So I'm interviewing this woman, really serious stuff. It was like death, and it was a dark interview. And I look out the side of my peripheral vision and I see Richard Bacon and out the glass of the newsroom going, let us in. And I'm going, what the fuck is happening? Anyway, long story short, he finally came in. I was live on Channel 4 and on TV3 at the same time. And the bosses said, oh, she's really good. Lisa Tarbuck's leaving. Why don't we interview her? And the same with Wipeout.
Wow, that's how you got the job on Big Breakfast.
That's how I got the job on Big Breakfast, yeah. And then,
and you know what? You could have written 20 letters or tried to organise 15 meetings and not got the same result.
No chance. Exactly. Yeah. Total sliding doors. And then my husband was also serendipity. Sorry, I'm on a serendipity
roller
coaster.
No, I love
here.
It.
Oh, he's so lovely.
Oh, he's a little dope.
Julian.
He's brilliant.
Hot Julian. Just Google him.
What a sweet man.
He's a lovely,
maybe
lovely
don't.
Man. And they are one of the best looking couples you could ever hope to meet. Your wedding day was a joy to behold.
Well, interesting. He studied psychology. So he's very much into,
you know,
he's just very much into how people act and react. He never lets me away with things. I mean, in the early days, I sabotaged our relationship very much because I had a lot of ego and, you know, I was very, I'm a strong, independent woman. And so he chipped the wall down very slowly but surely. It took years. And finally I went, I am free of this ego.
You know, he stood there with a hairdresser. You know when you're trying to defrost your freezer and it takes ages? He just kept going at you with his hairdryer.
Exactly. But we met because I was due to do a photo shoot with a photographer. I had done a shoot for Women's Health magazine, Strong Not Skinny, the first naked issue they did. And I trained really, really hard for 10 weeks. And I was
That's
in
when
fabulous
we went
shape.
Out.
Yes, it was. Because I had just met him.
Yes. That's right.
Yes, and you were just about to do your naked photos.
That's
you
right. Hadn't done and that I yet. Called him and I said, oh, I'm out with Gabby Ross. And he went, pardon me? He was literally in love with you. I mean, literally. And today he was
no,
like,
he's not literally.
Oh, no, no, no.
That, no, you actual, can't be literally.
I think you're on his laminate card of five that he's allowed if I die.
You're one of his
so
passes.
Just so you know. But I chose a photographer over a different photographer that I didn't want to be to shoot with. I wanted to shoot with a different one, and I ended up going with the one that he was in charge of the studio that day. And I didn't know why I was going with this other person. I was like, I don't want to book this person. And something in my brain went, book this person. And he was at that shoot. So if I'd not booked that photographer,
my God, so the first time you met Julian, you were literally stalkers.
Well, I did show him a picture of the... So he wasn't at the Women's Health shoot.
Oh,
this
right.
was another shoot the
okay,
next day.
Okay, sorry. I thought that's yeah. quite out there, babe.
But
for
I did
you.
Say, oh, look at me. I did a naked shoot yesterday.
But those photos were incredible, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, thank
I remember.
You.
Well, and you sent me the
that's
picture
right,
to
God,
see.
That was
and
a bit
I just went,
forward,
you
wasn't
look,
it?
No. Because you looked
no, you looked amazing.
Amazing
you looked strong.
Thank you.
You were strong. That's what
strong.
It was.
It's all about yeah. strong. Yeah.
This brings me nicely to my last question, because when I combine your broadcast years, I'm looking at 53 years of output, ladies.
I've only been in the business 3 years, though, Kate.
I know, because you're only 24.
Oh, bloody
20 for Amanda, 33 for
wow.
Gabby. And you've had some incredible on-screen moments, and we've touched on just a couple of them. But if you were asked to put together a sizzle reel, right, a show reel, of some of the most ridiculous things you've done in the line of professional duty... Talk
oh
me through the edit.
Oh my goodness, Jesus I Christ. Have a lot of them.
You really do, because
oh,
I've been on YouTube and looked.
Oh, I really have a lot of them. If I may, I'll share one that's not on YouTube. So it's not those silly moments, but it's one that I always talk about. And when I tell anybody, they don't believe that I said yes. When I was doing Motormouth, because it's kids telly, and it's what I always wanted to do, but kids telly... You were asked to do crazy things. So they said, would you like to do Air Sea Rescue? And I said, I'd love to. So I was taken to the English Channel, and it was quite foggy that day. But I was taken out in a speedboat, and I was going to be rescued by helicopter. And but unfortunately, because it was so foggy, we had to go a mile out. Now, I had a wetsuit on and a buoyancy aid. And a microphone. Now, oh just remember, this, because it was so long ago, there weren't mobile phones or anything like that. So this is what I had on me. And they took me out and they were going out to sea. And they said, OK, so you're going to drop by here and we're going to go to the shore and the helicopter will appear and he'll rescue you. Don't forget, arms down, that we've told you what to do. Yes, I'm fine.
And don't get your mic wet.
Practically. Over you go. So over I went. And then I saw the boat go away. And then I just thought, I'm in the middle of the English Channel on my own.
Oh my God.
And that's what they said. You've got a mic, so we'll hear if there's any problem. Okay. And we'll be right out to you. Okay. And I thought, okay. So, God, the mic's on. It's okay. They go, hello, can you hear me? You can hear me. You can hear me. Here I am. I'm in the middle of the sea. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There goes my mic. And my microphone
no.
went
on. I can't hear you.
And so I was floating in the English Channel on my own, thinking, I'm doing this for television. I always wanted to do this. And I started talking. Then I thought, they're going to be sharks. No, there are no sharks in the English Channel. Let's go through all the tube lines. Let's do anything I could. I promise, this is true. I heard, I look around and there is a ferry, a bloody ferry going past. And I'm just a dot. And I thought, there's a ferry. There's
I'm
a ferry.
Dead.
There's a fucking ferry. There's a ferry. Oh my God. And I was crying so much. And then I saw a man on the water walking towards me because he's hanging below a helicopter. And I saw him coming towards me. I'm now crying and screaming. And I'm so excited to see him. I'm going, and my arms are in the air and I'm flailing everywhere. And I'm here. I'd forgotten what they said to me. Don't forget, keep your mouth shut when the helicopter's over because all the water
comes in.
So now I'm drowning. Going, and the man comes down, very handsome. And he went, arms down. There's a ferry. And I'm dribbling and crying as I am now telling you. And my arms down. And he takes me up into the top of the helicopter. And they went, are you okay? I went, yeah, can we do it again?
No.
Oh, my God.
And I had to do it three more times because I had to film it from different angles.
That's amazing.
It was fantastic. But
what a stupid thing to say.
Oh, God. Amanda.
Listening to
apart
your stories.
Apart from your twizzle sticks
just
in there.
So many ridiculous things. I mean, so many things are kind of springing to mind. I mean, obviously watching 1,500 people bounce to their fate off big red balls was just one of the most ridiculous jobs
I've ever
done. Did
you do it?
I didn't for several silly reasons. One, I wasn't insured to do it while we were out there because if I'd broken my leg, etc., couldn't insure me. But also the set was about 2 hours from where we stayed in Buenos Aires. So by the time you got to the end of your working day, which was a wipeout zone the evening before, you'd have to come back in the next day to do it. And we didn't think they would axe it. We came home one Christmas and it was axed.
No.
We didn't know. Well, we were devastated because if we'd known that, we absolutely would have done it. I mean, 1,500 people I watched fall to their fate every
day. No, I just want you to fly back
days.
There and bounce on those balls. They must still be there.
No, they're not. They're gone. The balls are gone. I was a model before I was in TV, so I used to do silly things like I've got pictures of me dressed in lederhosen crossing the road with goats, just, you know, stopping traffic, or in a bath full of Quality Street, you know, doing press calls for these. And I think the things that it's taught me is that, you know what? Work can be silly and work can be fun. Let's not take
life too
seriously. Do you know
what? But we're so lucky
to do
what we love.
Yes.
And to be able to regale crazy stories like that and people just say, hold on, that's not work. No, it's not. We get paid to do our hobby.
We really do, don't we? We're really lucky.
And I have a brother that's a firefighter and his daughter is also a full-time firefighter
now.
And I just say, I know.
Absolutely.
We are overpaid clowns comparatively.
Yeah, yes, totally.
And I'm happy to be an overpaid clown, but I'd just like to flag we're definitely clowns and paid too much in comparison.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Oh, God, how was your white wine question time?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I've been really hoping to have you both on for so long.
It's such a joy to sit here and talk to you both.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, alongside Caitlin Silent Mercer. Yahoo UK. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter and Instagram at WhiteWineQT. And as always, our music has been beautifully and lovingly created by Andy Bell. Please do as we do and don't drink. I can't even say you have to drink responsibly. Not a drop has touched our lips. And it just goes to show that good conversation can be fueled.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.